hello again, and welcome. Oh, welcome. We've got a message for you today that I'm sure will stimulate your heart and open your eyes perhaps a little bit more to what God has in store for you. Now, we're going to use a sharp contrast here in my the title I've given to my sermon today. Now, listen very carefully. Here it comes. I've entitled my sermon today, Mr. Goodbody and Mr. Nobody. Mr. Goodbody and Mr. Nobody. Well, are they opposites or what? Well, let's find out what the Word of God has to say about these two exciting types of persons. Okay, let's have a quick prayer first, and then we'll get into the Word. Lord God, I thank you, Father, for allowing me to be a part of this ministry. I thank you, Lord, for helping me to understand, Lord, why it's so important, Lord, to serve thee. I just so love it, Lord. I ask you to give me good utterance today. I ask you to prepare the hearts of the people who hear this message. And Lord, when all is said and done, may you be lifted up and glorified through it. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, Mr. Goodbody and Mr. Nobody. Which one are you? Okay, which one do you think you are? Do you have a new nature? Were you a Mr. Nobody and now you're a Mr. Goodbody, or maybe a Mr. Somebody? The question is, are you a child of the King? Are you? Now, how does this actually work? I mean, to be a Mr. Goodbody, I would suppose you'd need to have a new nature, because we're all instinctively born into a sinful type of nature, right? Every Christian possesses a new nature, because the old nature, well, kind of goes back to the days of Adam, right? We're all sinners, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The scripture is very clear on that. Now, how does that actually work? A new nature. A new nature which actually comes from, it comes with being born again through the finished work. The finished work of who? Well, of course, Jesus Christ, right? Yes, of course, Jesus Christ. His finished work. Without it, we might as well just look the other way and just keep on trucking, because there's no hope for any of us. Now, you may say, what's wrong with the old nature? Well, I'm a good person, right? I talk kindly to people. I even talk nice to animals. I do one to others. I'll buy a coffee for somebody. I even go to church once in a while, but I go. And sometimes I even sing with the choir. I didn't say in the choir now. I said with the choir, you know. That type of singing. Anyway, still singing to the glory of God. And just so you know, well, I pay my taxes too. Yes, I do. Well, raw for me, right? Raw for you if you're the same type. I'll bet you even take a bath. Brush your teeth, right? And take the dog for a walk. Sure you do. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if you told me you read your Bible and helped to feed the poor and downtrodden. And you even give donations to help others. Hey, that's great. That's great. Let's hear it for Mr. Goodbody. Yeah, Mr. Goodbody. Yes, Mr. Goodbody goes to church every Sunday morning and maybe Sunday evening too. I might even wager that Mr. Goodbody also attends Wednesday night church services. Huh? Sure. Wow. Hey, I'm impressed. I'd even go so far as to say that Mr. Goodbody believes he's going to heaven when he dies. Yeah, what do you think? But let's look across the aisle. What about Mr. Nobody? Mr. Nobody. Well, Mr. Nobody goes to church every Sunday. He also goes to the midweek service Wednesday or Thursday night. Of course, he always wears the same suit. He walks 2 miles through all kinds of weather. And Mr. Nobody, well, he gives a portion of his earnings to the Lord. And also a portion to help support starving children halfway around the world. Can you tell me which of these two souls, Mr. Goodbody or Mr. Nobody, is the real Christian, or is neither? Which one is the real Christian, or is neither one? Well, the Word of God says we'll know them, how? By their fruits, right? The question is, did Jesus mean good deeds, or their new nature, or both? Well, let's check it out. Let's check it out, shall we? Now, if we look into the Word of God, into Matthew 3, where John the Baptist is baptizing repentant sinners. In verse 7, we read, But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the world to come? Verse 8. Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. Wow. Now, what was John actually telling the Pharisees and the Sadducees? That his baptism, really, was not some kind of monkey see, monkey do sort of thing. No, no. The fruits meet for repentance are actually the fruits of their heart. Their heart. And the baptism of immersion was their sign of submission to a God, or to God, for the kingdom of heaven was at hand, and Christ would soon be in their midst. Just a little side note here. Notice in particular verse 8, and always remember these words, always, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. That's what the Word of God says. In other words, what is it that you would show John if you were there? They are changed, or in the process of being changed. You see, John did not want people to think that baptism alone would save them. No, it won't. John wanted a sign that would indicate they were sincere and had given themselves over to the Lord. You see, today especially in Catholicism, I might add, because I've been there for a long time, in fact. In Catholicism, repentance, indicating a change of mind and direction, is not a clear directive for salvation. Not in Catholicism, no. Now, because there are millions of people who fit the description of Mr. Goodbody and Mr. Nobody in the world today, then, well, we have to go a step further. While many would appear to possess a good nature and are also bearing fruit, as it were, the new nature must also become a divine nature. Right? Got that? The new nature needs to become a divine nature. Now, we all know that good-natured people give plenty from their abundance. Yes, they do. But blessed is he who gives his least. He You see, if you only make a few dollars and you still give to feed the poor, is that not more recognized as a greater sacrifice than if someone makes much and still only gives a little to feed the poor? Why? Sure. Oh, yeah, God knows. God knows. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, 2 Peter, we read, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through," what? Lust. Through lust. A new nature does not a Christian make. No, it doesn't. For the journey is incomplete until the divine nature kicks in. You got that? The new nature is incomplete until the divine nature kicks in. Now, I've met many people in my long journey through life who, well, due to a loss of a loved one or personal illness, have taken on a new nature that is shrouded with sentimentality and kindness and meekness due to the loss of someone dear to them. But who have actually shut God out completely? I mean, they're the perfect specimen of what people should behave like, but they don't want anything to do with God. I meet them all the time when I preach at the seniors' residence. They listen intently to what you're telling them. When you give them the Word of God, you go talk to them afterward, you ask them if they're saved, and they say, "I hope so. I hope so." So you have to give them the plan of salvation every time you go preach to them. It's not their fault. I mean, they're just, you know, almost there myself, you know, where the mind gets a little bit forgetful when you get older, right? I recall how my dear wife, Catherine, and I, when we were Catholics together, we would attend dance parties at the church hall, the Catholic church hall. We do this for the mentally handicapped, not bring our own people in, to help the men mentally handicapped. Thinking all the time in our hearts it was right, because we were told that it was God's will by the priests. That's right. No, that's not right. It wasn't. It was wrong, and God would not bless us. God would not bless it. By nature, has not mankind defied the nature of God? That's our nature, to defy the nature of God. Until we get to know Him, and we don't get to know Him until we receive Christ as our Savior and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? Mankind, just by his own nature, defies the nature of God. 1 Corinthians 11:14. Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Is it not also a shame to waltz around the dance floor with a mentally misdirected man or woman? Isn't it? Is this God's nature and will for us? Ephesians 2, verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, if we look in 2 Peter 12, verse 4, we read, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of, here it comes, the divine nature. The divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through what? Lust, right? Through lust. Do you see here the transition from a good nature to a divine nature? Do you see it? You see, a lot of people are good, just naturally good, good-natured. But unless they truly repent and give their lives over to Jesus Christ and inherit that divine nature, then they're not really saved. They're not saved. Maybe the finest people you know in the world, but if they don't give themselves over and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're not saved. They haven't inherited that divine nature. They only think they are. They only think they are. Oh, I'm a good person. I give to this, I give to that. Well, good for you. Good. But it won't get you into heaven. Good works are good, but that's as far as they go. They don't go beyond. They don't go up to glory. They don't get you into heaven. Have you not heard someone say, not only is it good, it's divine. The feeling is divine, isn't it? As you have heard consistently, the nature of mankind since the fall of Adam, well, it's been an uphill climb. Yes, it is, an uphill climb. Yes, the new nature is what every Christian and many non-Christians possess. But unless it's accompanied by, here it comes, the divine nature that comes only from God, then it's only a means of you being a people pleaser. That's all it is. It goes no further than that. Maybe a little more back on your income tax return. The world will love you. Oh, what a great soul that man is, or that woman is. Oh, they look after these kids. Look, they provide. They buy for clothes for them. They buy all the food they need. They look at. Oh, they're just so chosen of God. But they don't believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So all this well-doing is, you know what? As filthy rags in the eyes of God. As filthy rags. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And thereby we are sealed on to the day of redemption. Food for thought. Food for thought. If the Christian can be lost again, then the Holy Spirit, which indwells the Christian, is lost also. For he abides within him. And he can never leave you. Not if you're really saved. He's omnipresent. Omnipresent. John 14:16. And I shall pray the Holy Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you. For how long? Forever. Forever. Did you know that in God's eyes, every Christian is now, right now, seated in the heavenlies. We are. Spiritually speaking, that is. And if we can lose our salvation, well, then Christ also must be put out of heaven. Colossians 3:3 tells us, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Have you got that? Your life is hid with Christ in God. It's important that we know these scriptures and bind them to our hearts. It's so important. So what does all this tell us about who believes, those who believe, rather, that you can lose your salvation? What does it tell us? It means they were never, get this now, it means they were never saved or seated in the heavenlies to begin with. You're only kidding yourself. That's right. We as Christians are members of Christ's body, flesh of His flesh, bone of His bone. We are complete in Him. Can that which is complete in Christ be lost? No. Colossians 2 verse 10, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. So now, what comes with the new nature? Well, now we come to the grace factor. The grace factor. And of course, when we make reference to salvation, we must go to Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And over in Acts 15:11, well, I'll let you read that for yourself. Now, here is the question that we must ultimately ponder. Here's the question. If we can be lost through some sin or failing to hold on, then can it be said of him, by grace are ye saved? Then what's grace? It doesn't mean anything. You're not saved. Can it? Are you? Or would it be by grace plus works plus a good nature? We are saved by grace through faith in what Jesus did for us at Calvary. Amen? My friends, even if you could save yourself through works without that divine nature, without the grace, all would be for naught. If a Christian can be lost again, then Christ would be lost with them. That's heavy stuff, isn't it? Why? Because according to Ephesians 5, verse 30, He made the Christian, get this now, He made the Christian part of His own body. When the Word of God says, in Christ, this is a literal interpretation and must be taken literally. Every Christian is now complete in Him. Can the complete work of Christ be undone? Huh? Pray tell, if this be so, how can a Christian be complete and then lost again? Would not then the finished work of Christ be lost also? I pray that you understand what's been said here today, and I pray you will take it to heart and that you search the Scriptures. Because there's a lot of people out there who think they're saved and they're not. There's a lot of people out there who don't think they can get saved at all. They just don't have the faith that's needed. You know, it's the grace that saves, but it's the faith that activates the grace. You got that? It's the faith that saves you, but it's the grace that activates that faith. So eventually you end up in glory, in heaven. I want to thank you for listening, and I ask that you would perhaps maybe listen to it again if you're not quite sure what was said here today. I hope I've been a blessing in some way, because God doesn't want anybody to perish and go to hell. Oh, no. God loves you. We love you. Please, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.